I hope you don't forget where you dug that hole.
And yeah, and then your mind starts to go and you're like, I swear it was right here. I do not want to be in that scenario. Like, I swear it was right by this tree. I know. And now, you know, and then what if someone else finds it? Welcome to the Artful Dollar Podcast. It's me, Ryan Roy, tattooer, artist, seeker, financial coach, whatever you want. And I am excited to bring my guest today, who is someone I know very well because I've been working with him for about a year now. And we are going to be speaking with my coach, Andres. He is a coach in my program. He is an enrollment and onboarding coach. He also is an accountability coach and comes in and teaches some classes as well. And the two of us have had, I think we've estimated at least 1,000 conversations in the past year collectively with tattoo artists and other artists and creatives, but 99% tattooers about money. And we've talked real honestly about money in a way that most people don't get to. And it's a rare opportunity. And so we've said, well, we've seen some pretty crazy shit. And we want people to know that they're not alone in some of the financial scenarios that people find themselves in, some real crazy stuff. So we want to talk about some of that and maybe talk about some solutions and how to deal with that. So Andres, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, excited to be here, man.
It's been an honor getting to work with you. And I just want to start out by just acknowledging you, because when we first met, like, I had no idea that you were going to like end up coaching me at times and through some shit. I mean, I've cried on calls with you. I have been open and honest, and I realized like, that's what I want my clients who work with me and in my program to get, is that that level of like listening and compassion and love. Like, so thank you for being that person in my life and in the lives of all the people we work with.
It's a privilege, man, just to be in service. So happy to be a stand for you and for everyone. It's highest possibility. It's why we do what we do.
It's why we do what we do. And so, you know, Andres, I mean, just like a little bit of your background from what I know, I mean, you've, you know, been in business and entrepreneurship and participated in a lot of coaching programs and coached in quite a few different programs. Is there anything about that that you want people to know about you before we dive into some wild conversations?
I think the theme of today is going to be what you learn in a lot of these programs, is that we don't have business problems. We have our personal problems that show up in our business. And I think we can all relate to that. And I think through all the programs and mentors that I've worked with, it's identifying the belief system or the perspectives that we make our decisions through that is ultimately what's dictating our reality or our situation. And I think that's what we're gonna talk about today. So I'm excited to dive in.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better myself. So, well, we were talking a little bit before this about some of the scenarios we've seen, some real interesting characters. I mean, some of these stories are things that I don't know if they exist outside of tattooing in other, let's call them other legitimate businesses. Maybe some of the things we are talking about exist in like more nefarious industries. And I often make the joke that like sometimes tattooers have they suffer from an affliction called permanent drug dealer brain, where we feel like we can't be honest or we kind of have to play it under the radar. But then the people who have come to us who are in those scenarios realize, well, it's kind of been working, but I don't know how well that's going to play out over the next 5-10 years. So do you want to start off? Do you want me to start off? Like, anything top of mind you want to dive into?
We were talking about this earlier, right? And there's like the full spectrum of everything, things that feel that can be made up, things that are a little bit more like common. You had a pretty good example, the one with the gold. I think that'd be a great one to start with.
Yeah. The one with the gold. So we're going to keep all this completely anonymous. And some of these are people we've actually worked with. And some of them are people that we've just hopped on like a free strategy session where we help people really take a look at where they're at, where they want to be, and what's the strategy that's going to best serve them, whether that is something we can help them with or just point them in the right direction. And so because it's a free call and it's really a great opportunity to talk about money, we have talked with, like I said, over 1,000 tattooers now. And there was one instance where I was speaking with a guy, real smart, real fucking talented tattooer, possibly had some other nefarious business background. And we were talking about retirement and like long-term plans. And he's like, yeah, well, I have like about like 250K worth of gold just buried out in the desert. And I was like, oh, cool. How's that going? And he's like, well, you know, it's there, but I'm not really sure like what to do with that at all now or in the future. And I was like, well, look, let's play this tape through. This is something I really like to do with people. Mm. Let's play the tape through. And imagine you are 65 years old and you need to go down to the grocery store and get a gallon of milk, some eggs, some bread, right? And so, okay, so you're going to get the shovel and we're going to go out into the desert. We're going to dig up the gold. Okay, first of all, that's not easy at 65. Then is it big bricks? Is it small bricks? Like, do you have to saw it off? Whatever you have to do to get, you know, and then you can't just go to the grocery store and give them a piece of gold and get your, you know, so like then you have to find a buyer. And so maybe you're doing that in advance, but then you're always arguing about price of gold. And it's like, it's a lot of work. It's a lot mm-hmm. of work. And yes, gold can be a store of value. And that's how people use it. But if you really track like the return on investment of gold versus like a retirement account invested in the S&P 500, gold is nowhere near the return on investment of the stock market. Mm-hmm. So as maybe a store of value keeping, but even inflation has started to spike past the rate of gold. So it's something in general, like in modern portfolio theory, maybe you have 3-5% of your overall investment portfolio invested in gold. This guy had 100% of his portfolio invested in gold. And when you really play the tape through, probably not an ideal scenario for the long run, given the shoveling and the needing to buy a person, find a buyer. And
hope you don't forget where you dug that hole.
And yeah, and then your mind starts to go and you're like, I swear it was right here. I do not want to be in that scenario. Like, it was right by this tree. I know. And now, you know, and then what if someone else finds it? Yeah. And you know, it's like, that's someone's financial plan. And I'm not judging it. I'm not here to judge the financial plan. I'm just here to say, like, does it really work for you? And so if you're watching this or listening to this and I don't know, maybe you got your NFTs or your Bitcoin.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, on the other side of it, like, what about, and don't get me wrong, I love Bitcoin and the crypto space, but for the people that on the other side of the spectrum are all in the digital game, because I've talked to so many people that, you know, barely have an emergency fund, you know, but have 20, 30 grand. My dog's barking, if you guys can hear it.
Oh,
but
it's
have
all good.
20, 30 grand. All in Bitcoin, all in crypto.
Yeah.
Like, what would you say about that?
And it was 50 grand. So that I have seen this a lot, like a scary amount, I will say, of people, because we kind of like look at just loosely. We don't get into like nitty gritty numbers, but we kind of look at like where are the assets, what's income, what's savings. We get an average, and I'll say to people, "So do you have a retirement account?" They're like, "No." They're like, "Do you have any investments?" They're like, "Well, I have Bitcoin or some other type of cryptocurrency," and that's their only investment. So a lot of people have done this where they saw Bitcoin or cryptocurrency doing what it's doing, and they're like, "Ooh, let me get in on that." But they never had any other investment experience at all whatsoever. And so what you've effectively done, if you're in that, even if you only have $100 in Bitcoin and nothing else in anything else, again, I'm not talking badly on cryptocurrency, but what you've effectively done is you have a portfolio that is 100% invested in the riskiest, most volatile asset on the planet. And so in terms of portfolio theory, the whole reason portfolio theory exists is to help people create portfolios that see as high a return as possible while taking the least risk as possible. That's really ultimately what portfolio theory is. And obviously you could say, well, more risk, more reward, but then you have to talk about timeline and, you know, more risk also equally means more loss. So it's really, you know, you have people with deep educations in economics and finance. You have algorithms. You have all these advanced technologies to help predict and create a portfolio that serves you, that ultimately helps you achieve your long-term goal. And you're saying, nah, fuck all that. I'm just going to go ham on Bitcoin, the most riskiest asset on the planet. That's my plan. Fuck all the shit that all these, you know, people with years of education have done. I can outsmart them and I'm going to do it this way. That's essentially what you're saying when you have a whole portfolio that only consists of cryptocurrency.
Yeah. The moonshot, you know?
The moonshot. Yeah. I mean, you might as well play the lottery at that point, you know? Yeah. I know I'm not saying don't do it, but think about when I started investing in cryptocurrency in 2018, like a lot of people did. I had a lot of people that were really gung-ho about it and I was getting really excited about it and I was telling people about it. But I realized I kind of had to stop telling people about it, not because I thought it was a bad investment, but because I realized that I had a retirement account. I owned a house at the time. I had a lot of, you know, I had other investments, stock market, other types of things. I had gold. I had, you know, a diverse portfolio. And then I was adding cryptocurrency to it. And that's what, and I was excited about the opportunity it held. Meanwhile, I'm talking to people. I'm like, dude, you got to check this out. This is amazing. These returns, you know. And then I realized, ooh, I don't have the whole picture. So I actually shouldn't recommend this because I realized it was irresponsible for me to do that without knowing their whole financial situation.
Yeah. Can we talk about that? I think that's a really important point of like how many of us or how many people are just getting advice from others that don't have the full context of their situation and or aren't as like thought out as you are and are just like trying to help someone else, but like telling them what they've kind of maybe figured out.
You know? Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about this because I see all the time people complaining and tattooing about, you know, the blind leading the blind, like a 1-year tattooer taking on an apprentice. And how unconscionable it is that you barely know what the fuck you're doing. And now you're going to take someone and teach them. And I agree with you. I fully wholeheartedly agree with you. Now let's apply that to money. And most people, I've talked about this on another podcast episode where, you know, if money was a violin, right? And every person at some point in their life is given this violin and you're just like, cool, go play the violin. And you're like, oh, okay. I guess I'm playing the violin now. But you don't know what the fuck you're doing, but you pretend like you know what you're doing. And then everyone around you is also pretending like they know what they're doing. And it sounds horrible. It sounds like shit. That's essentially what we're doing with money. And so you have another situation of the blind leading the blind. You have tattooers or other people, even financial advisors. And I have been in this scenario where I worked with a financial advisor that never took the time to really understand my financial situation and my goals and stuff like that. He knew he had been someone who'd worked with a lot of doctors. That's like all I really knew about him. I was like, okay, he worked with doctors, so he must be good. And he advised that I do a certain type of retirement account that after I did my own research, like extensive, like I went for months, I was researching everything I could about every, this is before I started coaching, I was researching retirement accounts and it was not the right advice for me. Now, was it bad advice? It wasn't bad advice. It just wasn't the right advice for me. So now let's take getting, you know, financial advice from your circle of tattooers, right? Who don't have the education background. They are just like, yeah, you know, just do it all under the table because this is how you do it because you won't pay taxes. Then you're going to save all this money. And you're like, well, you don't know that I want to own a house one day. You don't know that I want to retire one day. You don't know that I want to grow my business and expand and earn passive income one day. So I'm listening to you, but I haven't taken into account that the advice you're giving me, not only one, probably doesn't even work for you either, but then you're older than me. You have more experience than me. You sound convincing, like you know what you're talking about. And because I'm lost, and maybe I'm not clear on what my goals will be in the future, I'm just going to take your advice. And then, you know, 4 or 5 years go and you're like, man, I probably should have done a few things differently way back then and probably not listened to this guy. So all those people out there that are giving that, you know what? Keep giving that advice because it's keeping us busy. You know, we end up having, we're doing the cover up tattoo for all the shit advice tattoos that you're all doing. You know, everyone jokes about like, oh, keep the kitchen magician scratchers tattooing because I'll just do all those cover ups. You know, I'll make all that. It's like, we're kind of like doing cover ups for the poor financial advice that people were given. And then helping them take a look and see, okay, let's get back to basics and let's start from there and move forward.
Yeah. And like, I think just to speak into that, man, like it, my heart really does go out for a lot of people that are in their mid 40s or early 50s that are only just realizing that what they've been doing is a problem and won't get them to where they want to be in 15, 20 years. And unfortunately, you know, like we talk to so many people, like you'd wish it wasn't that many people, right, that are 48, 52, that have been incredible artists, hardworking for 20, 25 years and nothing to show for it aside from maybe a bunch of toys. Maybe they own a home, maybe, right? But are like terrified of what the next 10 years, 15 years are going to look like because they're feeling it in their body.
Yeah, all joking aside, people get pretty emotional on these calls, you know? Like we have to hold space for people that are pretty terrified, you know, in all seriousness. Like we're talking about your family, your future, and like it's not a joke. It's really not. Some of it we can laugh and stuff and sometimes you kind of have to, but like
you do. Yeah.
Because if you really were present to the full gravity of what people are dealing with, it is heartbreaking. Full stop.
I think kind of like to wrap up that, what our little tangent of like, we are products of our environment, you know, like, I think we have like this beautiful awareness that once you realize that, like you can change your environment. Like, yeah, maybe you can't leave, you know, maybe you can't leave your city or whatever, you have a family, whatever. But you could just choose to be around different people. A lot of times it's just virtually, you know?
Hey, all you artful listeners. I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you for giving a listen to the podcast. I hope that it's bringing some value to you in your life. That's really why I started this podcast. And if you're getting something useful or valuable out of it, I just want to invite you to go rate and review this podcast. It really helps me out. And it also helps other people find this podcast so that they can get some value out of it. They can feel more free around money and just get some wisdom and some knowledge that we're trying to share on here. So again, I'm not really asking anything else of you other than to just leave a review and rating for this podcast. It really helps me out and helps other people find us. So thanks and enjoy the show.
Any kind of come back to some of the stories we were talking about? I have a few that I can share. I mean, the crypto, you know, moon boys are tend to be a lot more than others, but any other ones that are kind of top of mind that you'd want to share?
Yeah. So we had one person in the course, he's shared about this openly. I'll keep him anonymous for now, but like he's talked about it openly. I think on one of the testimonials, when I first met with him, he had a shop and he was making good money, maybe like 8 to 10K a month. And he was taking everything in cash. He was cash only, no credit card. Actually, no, I think maybe he was taking some payments through like Cash App and stuff like that, but pretty much 90% cash. And then he didn't have a bank account. He had a Cash App account, which I don't even know how you have that stuff without a bank account. But anyway, yeah, he didn't actually have a bank account. He obviously had a social security number. And what he would do is he would take all the cash in his backpack full of 20s, this is what he told me, and he would go to Walmart and then he would upload it to a Walmart card, and that was essentially his bank account. Like, man, if he lost that Walmart card, all the money was lost. You know, it was being held there, and so he could shop online, he could do things, but it was essentially a gift card, essentially. And that was his bank account. And that was like I was really impressed, actually. I was like, that's a really creative, I would have never thought to do that. But I'm pretty impressed that you thought of like, oh, I'm just going to avoid getting a bank account and I'm just going to go to Walmart. And I was like, and he said the people at Walmart, when they first started doing it, would look at him pretty funny. And, and they're like, the fuck are you doing, dude? What's going on here, man? and then he did it every week, and so they just knew he was the guy that rolled up with a backpack full of 20s. And he realized, all right, this is not going to work. Long term plan. He's in his 30s. He managed to make it this far without ever having a bank account. And he's like, long term, I want to get my shit together. I want to take care of this. We ended up working together, and he opened up his first bank account of his whole life in the course, which for him is kind of monumental. Like, for some people, you might think of like, you really needed to take a course to do that. But like, look, people struggle wherever they're at. And there's no like, yeah, for him, that he just couldn't, you know, we had emotional blocks, we had psychological blocks. You listening to this right now, you might judge what someone else has a hard time with, and yet you struggle with something, and they're going to look at you and they're like, why is that so hard? So I've had to be humble. I've had to humble myself and realize that like things I struggle with, other people don't have a hard time with, and vice versa. But he had some of the most extraordinary results. And like, after not only getting some bank accounts together, building out his waterfall money system, automating things, looking at the numbers. That's a huge part that a lot of people avoid. They're just like an ostrich in the sand. They just don't look at the numbers. They have a pile of cash. That feels good. So first of all, he had some debt to deal with, about $20,000. In 3 months, we knocked out $20,000 worth of debt just by getting clear on the numbers and separating it, organizing it. He had no idea where any of this money was going, by the way. I think at the time he had never had more than 10K saved in his whole life. Wow. And then not only did we knock out the 20K in debt, he was able to save, and this is not an exaggeration, this is his words, he saved $50,000 in about 3 months, maybe a little bit more. And it was mind-blowing what happens when you take a talented artist, a smart, capable human being, and just channel that energy and that focus into the goal of becoming financially stable and financially free. I was blown away. And while I'll say that is not necessarily typical result, it's not the only time I've heard that either. And the fact that we've helped people, you know, accomplish those goals, and I mean, his whole life has changed. You can see from where he was to where he is now. Now he has systems and a whole different perspective. He's not afraid to look at the bank accounts and deal with, go to the bank. And in fact, it was funny. He said when he went to the bank to do those stuff, he realized he had already tattooed like half the bank tellers. They all knew him. And he was like, yo. And they're like, wait, this is your first bank account? Okay, well, let's help you out. My camera. They were just like, you know, more than happy. So, and I love those little synchronicities that occur too. But yeah, his life is forever changed. And I would love that story because it was a pretty drastic transformation.
Yeah. If you're listening, brother, you know who you are.
Yeah, so. You know. You know we love you.
That's awesome. Well, one of the things we were talking about too before this, like, I think like it can feel like this is something a lot of like independent artists or artists that are working at shops struggle with. But we're talking about some of like the bigger shops that we've met with that are in the same boat. Do you want to share about the one we were talking about earlier?
Yeah. I mean, it's not just one. There's at least three that we've worked with, and then probably at least another half dozen other shops that I've spoken to. Shop owners who are in a position where their shop's doing well. Like the shop has over 10 booths sometimes, or they own multiple shops, or they own one shop and it you know, they got five booths. But we've spoken to several people that are doing over multiple six figures a year. Some of them are doing $500,000 a year. Some of them are doing over $1 million a year in total revenue. You know, obviously a lot of that gets paid out to the shop, to the artists. Some of them are doing more than $2 million a year. We've encountered multiple shops now, and this is something that no one talks about, but they're struggling. And you're like, how is it that you're struggling? And it's like, you're smart, you're talented, you have a team of awesome people, like all those ingredients are there. What's not working? And when we really look at what's not working, it's the systems in place that were never put in place. There was never a solid foundation built to begin with. And then there's sort of this hodgepodge, duct taped, you know, shoot by the hip, you know, shoot from the hip, fly by the seat of your pants, whatever you want to call it, method of dealing with money. And now that's that method, you probably don't see like a huge, you know, there's problems when you're dealing with tens of thousands of dollars. When you're dealing with hundreds of thousands, if not millions, the stakes are so much higher. And so the problems you run into are that much bigger. Yeah, I mean, it's heartbreaking. Some people are, you know, they're doing multiple six figures, seven figures in revenue, and they're in multiple six figures of debt. And so, you know, how do we deal with that? And it's, I always look at it as like untangling headphones. So you kind of have this knot of headphones and you're like, oh, let me just get it. And you're like trying to figure it out and you're kind of making it worse as you're trying to solve it. And I'm like, we need to find that one thread. That's the first action. And let's just untangle that. And now we can take it from here and untangle it that way. And it's what's needed is a little bit more of a slower, intentional process from the ground up. So that one, we can deal with the problems that we're faced with now, but also ensure that we do not deal with these problems going forward into the future.
Yeah, when I'm on conversations with people, I always use the analogy like, you know, when you're weightlifting, you know, if you're squatting or you're deadlifting and you're doing lightweight, your form's a little off, like, you know, whatever, you might be a little sore. But you start lifting really, really heavy and your form's off like the tiniest bit, like you can throw your back out for a week or a month, you know, and really hurt yourself. And it's kind of like, you know, as you start making more and more money and you have more at stake, you know, like making, like you said, having that system in place. But also, I think kind of like what I said when we first started, like, we don't really like it's these business problems are mirrors to our personal beliefs. You know,
yeah.
And the systems are what like helps us integrate the beliefs into the real world. But I think they're both equally important. And what one thing I just constantly see over and over is that our egos is what loves saying how much we make. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I make this amount. Like it strokes the ego. The ego loves it. But it's so easy to overlook like, well, how much are you actually keeping? How much are you putting away for yourself? And, you know, that's what comes to light on a lot of the conversations that we have. It's like, cool, you're making really good money. Where is it all going?
Yeah. Yeah. The actual specific problem that these shops, and not just these shops, actually all tattoo shops, I would say across the board for the most part that I've seen, the biggest problem. So if you own a shop, listen to this, is that they are operating and growing solely off of cash flow, and they're not putting anything aside for, they're not growing out of a pool that they've already accumulated. Mm-hmm. They're growing off of the projected next month's income. So they're like, well, our shop's doing $30,000 a month right now. We can easily afford to invest more in the shop. Okay, now we're doing $60,000 a month. We can grow. We can open up a second shop. They see all this money coming in, and they're growing solely off of projected cash flow that's coming in. And it looks great from the outside because you have two shops, you have all these artists, you're able to buy a car or go on vacation, but it's a house of cards. Mm. And then the industry changes, trends change, neighborhoods change, laws change. And all of a sudden the house of cards that looked fucking awesome falls down. And that again and again and again and again, that's what we've seen. And I'm not talking about irresponsible people here. I'm talking about very smart, very capable, talented, motivated, driven, like they have everything they need. And they didn't have the mindset, the perspective of like, oh, wait, I shouldn't grow off of cash flow. I should grow off of the pool of money that I've actually accumulated and then make more intentional, but always make sure that I'm keeping a certain percentage. Because if you don't keep basically if you aren't saving 10, 20% of that money that comes in, that's how you know you are operating only off of cash flow and you're not accumulating a pool and then making growth decisions based off that pool. You're making growth decisions based off of the number you see coming in, which is like what Andre said, your ego gets excited about and it's fun to, you know, think of and talk about. So yeah.
Man, we should do a whole episode about that.
Yeah, we should do a whole episode about that because we've talked to so many. And that's one of the biggest things that people have come in to the course leave, and we have, you know, dozens of recorded testimonials. It's like, they're like, wow, I had no idea how much my mindset was impacting my relationship with money. I just thought I needed the systems. I just thought I needed the bank accounts and know the ratios and how to automate and how to set it up and tweak, and not just build the system, but how to use the system, right? You can have a great tattoo machine, a beautifully made coil machine made by an expert, but if you don't know how to use the system, it doesn't do you any good. So they're like, well, that's what I thought I needed. And most people join us because that's what they want. And then we've had several people say, like, halfway through, they're like, yo, I got like halfway through this course and I thought I was signing up for like an economics class or something, but like my whole fucking world is rocked now because I not only see money differently, but I see my life differently. I see myself very differently. And that's what I want. That's the difference I want to make in the world. Cause that's exciting. That lights me up. So yeah.
Yeah, man. Perspective is everything.
Yeah.
Perspective is everything. Well, I mean, I think that covers like a lot of the stories we were talking about before. Well, you know, yeah. we do this again in a month. We'll probably have a lot more.
I know. I mean, there's all kinds of situations. You know, there's funny ones, there's heartbreaking ones. But what is ultimately, I think, the coolest part about what you and I get to do is we create a space for free to come and talk about the situations that you're dealing with that you probably don't have anywhere else in the world that you get to have that conversation. And that alone is a very valuable opportunity. People message me all the time. They're like, hey, I just met with Andres and, you know, I don't think we're going to work together at this moment, but I do want to in the future. And that conversation was so needed. I feel so much, you know, open, empowered after actually having that honest look at it. So, and then I've had people tell me, hey, you know, I get on a call and they're like, Ryan, I've been avoiding having this call with you for 6 months now because yep. I've been afraid to have this conversation. We've seen that a lot. Or I'll talk to people in the DMs and I'll say, hey, you know, if you want to book a call, here's a link, check it out. And they're like, okay, cool, I'll get to it. And then, you know, we see them 6 months later and they're like, yeah, I just, you know, it was a little bit intimidating. And so I totally get that. And I just want you to know, like, first of all, that's fine. That's okay. But we're not going to bite. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good, you're going to leave the conversation feeling invigorated, alive, and like, you know what your next action is, whether that's working with us or not, whether that's getting help here, or you know what the clear action is to do moving forward. So I love having those conversations with people. And I'm so glad that I get to do it with you, Andres, because I don't know who else. I don't know. I don't know who else could hold space and have that intelligent, thoughtful, and really loving conversation about money that is so needed in the world.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, I've been coaching for years, and some of these conversations, like I've cried with some of our clients before, man, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's real stuff. And just to have that space to talk about things that can feel like so much shame around, you know, when you're 35 and you think you should be in a better spot and you know you've been doing the work. And so there's shame and there's guilt, but having like a non-judgmental space to just look at your results as just feedback and being able to be the one that makes the decisions around how you want to change it going forward, I think is a really powerful, you know, hour that if you think about it, we never get in our daily lives.
Yeah. So it's such a rare opportunity. That's why the only way I can describe it. It's a rare opportunity. I know I was thinking I really want to get Chloe on here and do a podcast, maybe even the three of us sometime.
Yeah,
Chloe is another coach in my program and she's works more one-on-one like throughout the course. And anyway, she's just a light in this world. She's such an incredible human being. Yeah. I want to kind of share with people like what it is that we're actually doing and what it looks like. And, so if you're interested in, you know, speaking with me or anyone on my team, like we're going to take good care of you. You're in the best hands. Just shoot me a DM. You know, we can chat on DM and see like what makes the most sense. Where are you at? What do you need? And then just know like, yeah, we're here to help. However, whatever that looks like.
Yeah. Well, if anyone does end up jumping on, looking forward to meeting with you guys.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, Andres, thanks for taking the time to chat with me. I would love to do this again too. Like I said, maybe we get Chloe and get the team here at the Artful Dollar. I want to share the magic you guys do with everyone. So
let's do it.
Cool, man.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your day. And if you're listening, take care. Be well.
Later, guys.
Later.
Be well.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, I just want to prompt that if you got some value out of this conversation, please go and leave us a rating and a review on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you saw this podcast. It really helps me out and it really helps other people to find this podcast. I want more people to have these types of conversations around money so that we can all be more free and at ease and abundant and able to create the lives that we really want to live. So please share this and rate and review. Appreciate it. Thanks.